Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Thinking Strategically, The Competitive Edge in Business, Politics, and Everyday Life is a nonfiction introduction to game theory written by economists Avinash K. Dixit and Barry J. Nail Buff. The book explains how strategic behavior shapes decisions in business, politics, bargaining, sports, and ordinary social interactions. Rather than treating game theory as an abstract mathematical discipline, it presents it as a practical way to anticipate how others will respond to your choices and how your own decisions should change in response. The central purpose of the book is to help readers think ahead, reason backward, and recognize situations where commitment, credibility, and incentives determine outcomes. Its examples are chosen to make strategic ideas understandable to a broad audience. So the book works both as an accessible primer and as a guide to more disciplined decision-making in competitive environments. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, game theory as a practical framework for everyday strategy. The book's first major contribution is its presentation of game theory as a usable framework rather than a purely academic theory. Dixit and Nailbuff show that many ordinary situations involve strategic interaction. Each person's best choice depends on what others are likely to do. This matters in markets, negotiations, politics, and even personal decisions because outcomes are shaped by mutual anticipation rather than isolated judgment. By framing game theory this way, the authors make a complex field accessible without stripping away its core logic. The reader is encouraged to ask not only what is the best move for me, but what move makes sense when the other side is also reasoning strategically. That shift in perspective is the real point of the book. It teaches that many conflicts and collaborations cannot be understood by linear cause and effect alone. Instead, decisions must be evaluated in a competitive context where incentives, expectations, and reactions matter as much as the immediate choice itself. Secondly, backward induction and reasoning from the end of the game. A central analytical tool in the book is backward induction, the method of working from the final outcome back to the present to determine rational actions at each stage. The authors use this idea to show how strategic thinking often begins with the endpoint and then reconstructs the path that leads there. This is especially useful in sequential games, negotiations, and multi-step contests where early moves are chosen with later reactions in mind. Backward induction helps explain why some plans fail. A move that looks strong at the start may unravel once future responses are considered. The book's treatment of this concept is practical because it connects formal reasoning to real decisions rather than abstract proof alone. Readers learn that anticipating the future is not enough. They must also consider how each stage of interaction changes the options available later. This method gives strategic thinking its discipline, since it forces attention to incentives over time and reveals when a seemingly clever move is actually unstable or self-defeating. Thirdly, commitment and the power of strategic moves. Another key theme is the strategic move, meaning an action taken outside the normal choices of a game in order to shape the behavior of others. The point is not merely to act, but to commit in a way that is credible, observable, and difficult to reverse. This is one of the book's most important insights because many strategic situations are won not by choosing the strongest move at the moment, but by changing the opponent's expectations in advance. A credible commitment can make threats believable, promises trustworthy, or responses more predictable. The authors explain why this matters in bargaining and conflict. If others believe you cannot or will not back down, they may alter their behavior before a contest escalates. At the same time, the book makes clear that commitment is risky if it is not believable or if it traps the decision maker into an unwanted course of action. This makes strategic moves a double-edged tool. They are powerful precisely because they constrain your own freedom, which is why credibility is essential. Fourthly, Nash equilibrium, dominant strategies, and the logic of mutual best responses. The book introduces equilibrium thinking as a way to understand stable outcomes in strategic settings. A Nash equilibrium exists when each player's choice is a best response to the choices of the others, so no one has an incentive to change unilaterally. This idea helps explain why some social and business patterns persist even when they are not ideal for anyone involved. The authors also discuss dominant strategies, which are choices that perform best regardless of what others do. These concepts are useful because they identify different levels of strategic certainty. Sometimes the best move is obvious, sometimes it depends on what the other side does, and sometimes the interaction settles into a stable but imperfect result. By presenting these tools together, the book shows that rationality in competitive settings is not always about maximizing alone. It is about understanding the structure of interdependence. The reader learns to distinguish between a good move in isolation and a move that remains good once opponents are accounted for. Lastly, applying strategic thinking to bargaining, auctions, politics, and daily decisions. The book is especially effective in showing how the same strategic principles apply across very different domains. Bargaining, auctions, political conflict, sports, and everyday coordination problems all become clearer when viewed through the lens of incentives and responses. This broad applicability is one reason the book has remained influential. It does not confine strategy to boardrooms or theory seminars. Instead, it treats many familiar situations as contests in which timing, information, and commitment shape the result. In bargaining, understanding leverage and credible threats matters. In auctions, knowing how rivals value the prize changes bidding behavior. In politics, public commitments and visible actions can alter opponents' expectations. The practical value of the book lies in this transferability. Once readers understand the logic in one setting, they can recognize the same pattern elsewhere. The authors do not claim that game theory solves everything, but they do show that it offers a disciplined way to analyze situations where the actions of others are part of the problem and part of the solution. In conclusion, Thinking Strategically is best suited for readers who want an accessible introduction to game theory and a practical method for improving decision-making in competitive or interactive settings. It will be especially valuable for business readers, students of economics or political science, negotiators, managers, and anyone who regularly has to make choices while anticipating how others will respond. The main benefit of the book is that it teaches a way of thinking, not just a set of formulas. Readers come away with tools for recognizing strategic situations, evaluating commitments, identifying equilibrium behavior, and reasoning backward from outcomes to causes. What distinguishes it from many other books in the strategy category is its balance of clarity and breadth. It does not stay at the level of abstract theory, but it also does not reduce strategy to simple advice. Instead, it connects serious economic reasoning to concrete examples from business, politics, sports, and everyday life. That combination makes it useful both as an introduction and as a durable reference for sharper strategic judgment. If you would like to support Avinash K. Dixit, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.